If you are thinking about starting a podcast, either by yourself, with a co-host, with guests, maybe it's audio only, or with video, please keep on listening. I started podcasting in early 2019, and for the rare occasions that I had on a guest, it was always in person. But once the pandemic came around and everything became remote, using Zencastr really, really opened up my possibilities of who I could have on a guest. I wasn't limited to the people who I could get in person anymore. I have recorded guests using Zencastr everywhere from just a handful of miles away from where I am in the Chicago area, all the way to the other side of the world in New Zealand. So the video and the audio quality are great, especially if they have a decent camera and microphone. And getting the files couldn't be easier. I really, really love that Zencastr records the audio and the video to the person's local computer, so the quality isn't lowered when you get things like internet hiccups. It then uploads the footage to the platform during the recording, and when you hit stop, it quickly finishes the upload and then processes the files so you can directly download them right from the platform. The files are even accessible if something goes wrong. And this next part, I'm going to basically read verbatim because I couldn't have said it better myself. It's super easy to record a podcast with Zencastr. Log in using your browser and start recording a high-quality podcast right away. Record studio-quality sound and up to 4K video with your guests. Feel a sense of zen knowing Zencastr's multi-layered backups ensure you always have your recordings in the highest quality, even if the connection is unstable. Have you ever worried what you sound like? Zencastr's post-production process makes you sound buttery smooth. It automatically removes those ums and ahs in your recording. It removes those awkward pauses in conversation, too. Set the right podcast loudness and levels while reducing background noise with a click of a button. If you have thought about podcasting before and realized that you need lots of different tools and services, those days are over. With Zencastr's all-in-one podcast platform, you can create your podcast all in one place and distribute to Spotify, Apple, and other major destinations. So, go to zencastr.com/pricing and use my code WORDNERD, WORDNERD, all one word, and you'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. I want you to have the same easy experience as I do for all my podcasting and content needs. It's time to share your story. Hello, word nerds, and welcome to another episode of The Dictionary. My name is Spencer. Hello, everybody. Hi, Spencer. How are you? I'm great. Thanks for asking. What's going on with you today? Oh, you know, I'm just reading the dictionary and talking to people about it while I do it. Well, I am recording this on June 4th, 2024, and I am very excited that we're almost done with the ease. I'm almost done recording. Just a couple of days ago, we had a very fun, exuberant, big, crazy, unique party for the film that my wife and I are helping to produce with our friend Paul. It was a crazy start to the night, but I think it went fantastically, and there were a lot of people there. Basically, it was a little bit of a fundraiser, but also a celebration to celebrate the fact that we had finished sort of the first portion of production, dialogues recorded. We made a pitch reel video, which we're going to get out to production companies along with a pitch deck to give us money so we can hire a production company, an animation company, to get this whole film animated, edited, animated, all that stuff. So, you know, it's like this is a pivot point, as Paul has been saying. This is a pivot point for the film. And we had a great party. It was a great time. Didn't get to bed till after midnight because I had to chill out afterwards. But yeah, anyway, that was a big thing that we just did a couple of days ago, and a big thing in my life, at least. And I want you to know what's going on in my life, because sometimes I am an extrovert. Not all the time. Sometimes I am very much an introvert. But two nights ago, I had to definitely be an extrovert. I was kind of, along with Paul, the main MC for this event. So I had to get up there in front of a microphone and talk to people staring at me, over 100 people staring at me. So yeah, that's the first word, extrovert. E-X-T-R-O-V-E-R-T, or you could spell it extravert, because you have extra verticalness. Extravert. Okay, this is a noun from 1918. It is one whose personality is characterized by extroversion. And of course, we talked about that in the previous episode, which was about the act, state, or habit of being predominantly concerned with and obtaining gratification from what is outside the self. Maybe like other people. Talking to other people gives you gratification. But broadly for extrovert is a gregarious and unreserved person. I know a lot of these people. I do. They're extroverts. They, for whatever reason, I think I have a hair on my tongue. For whatever reason, genetically, environmentally, whatever it is, they are just the type of person, they have the type of brain that loves talking to other people. I don't want to go any further because that's sort of a big part, but it's a lot more than that. Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes they can be, chatterboxes, people who just talk a lot. I can't think of the term that Alan Alda uses in his podcast, Clear and Vivid. Somebody who just talks a lot. Anyway, sometimes they're that, but most often they're just somebody who just likes to be in the presence of other people. It fills their battery. It's just a fascinating thing that it's just a whole spectrum, right? Extrovert on one side, needs attention from other people or needs to be around other people or stuff that's just not internal, and then fully introvert on the other side. And I like to say, once I learned ambivert, I'm right there somewhere in the middle sometime. And it changes, you know, depending on the situation. I can be very extroverted or I can be very introverted. Okay, extrovert is an adjective. Extroverted is also an adjective, and both of those can be spelled extrovert or extravert. So my sound effect is going to be, hey, hello, how are you doing? What was I going to say about extrovert? This podcast is weird because it's kind of like I'm being extroverted. I'm putting myself out there, but it's not. I am doing it alone, unless I have a guest on. This is all by myself, so it's introverted. It's like introverted extroversion, because I'm not getting any gratification from something that's outside of me. I know, it's a weird thing. Okay, the next word is extrude. Verb from 1566. We're starting with transitive. Number one, to force, press, or push out. I immediately think of those old Play-Doh contraptions factory, whatever those things are, where you squeeze, you put the Play-Doh in there and you squeeze the thing and there's little shapes and then the Play-Doh comes out in different shapes. And it's very cool. It's being extruded because it's being forced out of the star shape hole, pressed out, pushed out, all that stuff. Number two, to shape as metal or plastic by forcing through a die, a D-I-E. Talked about this way back in the D's. There was a number of words that we talked about with dies. So yeah, I mean, it's a similar process as number one, but I think you could also just be extruding, you know, you could be pushing out emotions, feelings. It doesn't have to be a physical thing. But for number two, you're pushing metal or plastic through a thing to make a shape. Intransitive is just to become extruded. I'm a piece of clay, and I was extruded through the Play-Doh hole. Extrudability is a noun. How extrudable can it be? This glass has no extrudability, I don't think, because it's pretty solid. Technically, I think that they say it isn't like glass a very slow-moving liquid. Extrudable is an adjective, and extruder is a noun. Extruder. This word... you know what? Well, there's not really any etymology for extrovert, but there is for extrude, which says this is from the Latin extrudere, which is from ex plus trudere, which means to thrust. There's more at the word threat. So when you put the X in front of to thrust, you are thrusting it out, pushing it through the thing. Hello, hey! Next is extrusion, noun from 1540. This is the act or process of extruding. Also, a form or product produced by this process. Extrusion. I don't know what to say about extrusion. It's just being pushed. When you got this star-shaped Play-Doh, you have an extrusion. And what are you going to do with it? You got to make a thing. I don't know. Hello, 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 how, hi. Next is extrusive. Adjective from 1816. This is relating to or formed by geological extrusion from the earth in a molten state or as volcanic ash. Formed by geological extrusion. So this molten stuff, you know, when you got volcanoes, and the volcanoes are shooting up all this molten lava and stuff because it's rock from way down deep under the crust of the earth, where it's so deep that it has been heated and melted. And sometimes, I guess, this stuff can come through maybe smaller holes less intensely than a volcano, and it can be extruded geologically through the rock. The rock, the melted rock is coming through other rock, maybe? Yeah, extrusion from the earth in a molten state. Or as volcanic ash. I guess when it comes out of the volcano, that would be an extrusion as well, because it's extrusive. Hey! Next is exuberance. Exuberance. Noun from 1631. Number one is the quality or state of being exuberant. As in the example, youthful exuberance. The youth is wasted on the young? Yes. You are so exuberant. What does exuberant mean? I don't know. We'll get there in a second. Number two for exuberance is an exuberant act or expression. So obviously we got to move on to that word. Hello, hello, hello. Exuberant, adjective from the 15th century. Exuberant. Number one, extreme or excessive in degree, size, or extent, as in exuberant prosperity. There is so much prosperity. It's extreme. It's excessive prosperity. So what, like a lot of money? A lot of stuff? Degree, size, or extent? Yeah. You know, when you have your gold-plated toilet in your gold-plated bathroom next to your trampoline room, that would be exuberant prosperity. Yeah, is that prosperity? Is that how we want to think of that word? I guess so. Number 2A is joyously unrestrained and enthusiastic, as in exuberant praise. You are praising somebody so much, you are so happy, you are unrestrained with how happy you are about giving this praise, you're also very enthusiastic. Also is in an exuberant personality. Maybe if you are an extrovert, you have an exuberant personality because you are joyous, you are unrestrained, you're just saying hi to everybody that walks past you on the street. This is not me. I can be extroverted, I can be exuberant, but when people are walking down the street, I keep to myself, I give them their space. They probably don't want to talk to a stranger. But sometimes, if I have a thing to say, a question, I will go to the stranger, and I will say, that's a great shirt that you're wearing, I appreciate that, I like that. You know, I think people would like to hear that. If you like their style, they would probably like to hear it. And, but yes, exuberant is more like, you're just talking to everybody, you're just happy, and it's great. Life is great. 2B for exuberant is unrestrained or elaborate, especially in style. And the synonym is flamboyant. Flamboyant, as in, exuberant architecture. That architecture is so exuberant. Maybe I should post a picture of some exuberant architecture that's feeling very flamboyant today. You know, there's that architect who makes those silvery metal buildings that are so like flowy and stuff. I think those would be flamboyant. In the architecture world, those can definitely be considered flamboyant. Flamboyant is a word that some people love, and some people, let me put that another way. Flamboyant is a word that some people have positive feelings towards, and other people may have negative feelings towards it. And so, you know what? It's just, it's a word that can be used in both contexts. So, you know, just think about that. Okay. Unrestrained or specific style. Yeah. Elton John, Liberace, they definitely had flamboyant and exuberant styles. There's a lot of people. I am not one of those people. I have these graphic tees. I'm wearing a Labyrinth shirt today, but overall, I have no exuberant style. But it is sometimes fun to dress up in an exuberant style. Number 3 is produced in extreme abundance, as in the synonym is plentiful, as in the example, exuberant foliage and vegetation. There's a lot of it. It's plentiful. It's produced in extreme abundance. The farm has exuberant corn and soy and other things that it grows. A synonym is the word profuse. That's a synonym for the whole thing, all of it. And exuberantly is an adverb. I should have been dressing exuberantly today, although I will say, at our event a couple of days ago, I was slightly exuberantly dressed because I was wearing a very cool shirt with octopi on it, and it was Sharon got it for me a while ago, and I think I've only worn it once or twice, but it's a very fun shirt. The etymology for exuberant says that this is from the Latin verb exuberare, exuberare, which means to be abundant. It's a lot of something. That's what this is. I'm feeling very exuberant now because I'm talking so much and I'm very animated. And I am abundant. I have an abundant amount of talking. That word, exuberare, is from ex plus uber. Is that how you'd say that? Uber? U-B-E-R. Which means fruitful. Also from uber, which means udder. U-D-D-E-R. Well, that makes sense because the udders of a cow after it has a baby is it's fruitful. It's fruitful of milk, not fruit, milk. Fruitful just means it's producing something, which is reminding me of the number three definition, which is all about plentiful, produced in extreme abundance. The udders are producing milk. So that's kind of where this is coming from. It's fruitful, it's abundant. And then it's just a lot of stuff. That's what it is. Exuberant. Okay. So if we go back to the word exuberance, the example was youthful exuberance. That means that the youthful exuberance. How do we want to describe that? You could be an old person and have youthful exuberance. You could be filled with youthfulness, the feeling of being young, playing, running around, being silly, using your imagination. This is what I want to be like. I want to have youthful exuberance when I'm so anciently old. I don't want to ever stop doing that, which is why I do stuff like this podcast. Okay, great. What's next? Oh, we got so many words ahead of us. I've been talking so much. Hey, everybody, how are you doing? The next word is exuberate. It is an intransitive verb from the 15th century. Number one is archaic, and it is to have something in abundance. And the synonym is overflow. You are exuberating because you have something in abundance. You have so much of a thing. Right now, I am exuberating electricity. There's a lot of electricity around me, which is probably not good for my body, but whatever. Number two is to become exuberant and show exuberance. To become exuberant, that's the first part, and the second part is show exuberance. As in exuberated over his victory. This is a very silly word to me. Exuberated over his victory. So when he won the contest, the race, the tournament, he went crazy wild. He was like, oh my God, I won the thing. I'm so happy. He was exuberant. Okay. We gotta say hello. The next one is exudate. Those are ways to say it. This is a noun from 1876, and it is exuded matter. So when the clay gets pushed through the Play-Doh thing, the Play-Doh gets pushed through the plastic hole. What is it? What's another? A circle, a square, a triangle, a star. Those are all the shapes I can think of. Then you have exudate on the other side of it. Okay. Hello. Next is exudation. Noun from 1612. Number one, the process of exuding. We are going to see exude very soon. Number two, the synonym is exudate. Exudate, which is the previous word, which is just the exuded matter. It's also exudation. exuditive or exuditive, exuditive, exutative. I don't know how to say this word. That's an adjective, by the way. Hello, hello, hello. The next word is exude. E-X-U-D-E. Verb from 1574. I am exuding lots of words from my face. Number one is to ooze out. Ooze. Yeah. Number two, to undergo diffusion. You put clouds. If you were to put clouds in front of the sun, just go do that. Just put some clouds in front of the sun. They would be diffusing the sunlight. So the light would be exuded. Exude. Because it's going through the stuff. Those were intransitive. I think I forgot to say that. To ooze out. I can't not think of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles when I think of ooze. They were in the ooze. The ooze exuded. I wonder if there's a relationship between exude and ooze. So now we have transitive, which is number one, to cause, to ooze, or spread out in all directions. Boom. The universe exuded from one point all those billions of years ago. Exude feels to me like a slower process. Ooze is a slower thing than an explosion, although maybe technically it's fine. Number two for exude is to display conspicuously or abundantly, as in exudes charm. I hope I exuded some charm at the event a couple of days ago. I did get a lot of compliments on being the MC, which was very, very kind of all those people. I was nervous, but hey, I was like, hey, we got to just do it. Just do it. I have to exude something. Hopefully not exuding sweat, which is interesting because that's part of the etymology, which I'm going to tell you about right now. This is from the Latin word exudare, which is from ex plus sudare, which means to sweat. So that's what it is. When you get excited, when you get nervous, when you're running around a lot, physically active, the sweat will literally ooze from your pores. And this just happens to me way too much. I'm sorry. TMI, I don't know. Sitting here in sometimes my warm office, yeah, I get the sweat exudes from the pits a little bit. Whatever. When I'm talking to a famous person on this very show, I have gotten nervous and I exude. You know what? Yeah, I'm a human. I'm just a human. Okay, next word. Hi. Exult, E-X-U-L-T, intransitive verb from 1548. Number one is obsolete, and it is to leap for joy. To leap for joy. I am so happy, I am exulting. Woo, 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 woo. Number two, to be extremely joyful, and the synonym is rejoice, as in the team exulted in their victory. They were also maybe exuberating. Yes, exuberating. Exuberating and exulting because they were so happy that they won. And then they got to get ice cream. This word is from the Latin exultare, which means literally to leap up. So obviously that's where this came from. From the ex prefix plus saltare, which means to leap. And there's more at the word saltation. Is there exaltation? Did we have that? Was there an E? Was it EXS? I don't remember. But yes, so exult. Is that? Yeah, we're talking about exult. It's literally about leaping up because you're so happy. Hi, hi, hey, hey, hoo. Next is exultance. Exultance, noun from 1650. The synonym is exultation, which is coming up. Hello, hello, hello. Next is exultancy, noun from 1621. And the synonym is exultation again. Hey, 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 hey. The next word is exultant. Exultant, adjective from 1653. Filled with or expressing great joy or triumph. And the synonym is jubilant, as in an exultant cheer. Also as in exultant fans. Why were the fans cheering so exultantly? Because their team was exulting in their victory. They were exuberating their victory. The football team scored the winning goals in the final seconds of the baseball game. And the fans cheered, and they were exultant. The jubilant, that's another word. Exultantly is an adverb, and we already know the etymology, and now we're going to go to the next one. Hello, hello, hello. It's the word exultation. Exul, with an S or a Z. Exultation, exultation. This word was the synonym for both exultance and exultancy. So, it is a noun from the 15th century. I wish I could always talk in rhyme, but there's no time. The act of exulting, and also the state of being exultant. I am in exultation because I am so happy that my team won. What's up? Hello, how are you doing? I'm fine. Next is exurb. Exurb, yeah, with an also an S or a Z. Exurb, exurb. E-X-U-R-B, noun from 1955. This is a new word to me. It is a region or settlement that lies outside a city and usually beyond its suburbs, and that often is inhabited chiefly by well-to-do families. They're like, oh, we're so well-to-do. We have, wasn't there a word? We have exuberance in our house, and we don't want to be close to the common city folk. No, no, no. We have to go into the exurbs. The exurb? Exurban, that is an adjective, and it's literally exurban. The urban area is the city, and you are out of the city. It's literally from ex plus the urb from suburb. But exurb makes more sense, but I have never heard of this word before. Suburb, it's like sub means like, I would think, under the city, but it's not. It's supposed to be out of the city. Can we start calling the suburbs exurbs? I have never heard of this. So is it literally anything? So like, okay, you got the city, right? Here's the city. Let's do it this way. Boop, my nose is the city. My face is the suburbs. These are the towns, cities, villages that surround the city that are just outside of the city. But then anything past my face is the exurb when you're getting into maybe more rural areas? What's the cutoff? That's what I want to know. What's the cutoff that you're not a suburb anymore and you are an exurb? Is there a point where you're not even an exurb? You're just a town, a city that you're unrelated to another city, a big city? So you can't be called an exurb. What is going on? Interesting word. Yeah, exurb. Okay. Good. Hey, we got another one. We got a couple more that are related. Hello, hello, hello. Exurbanite. Exurbanite. noun also from 1955. This is one who lives in an exurb. Of course, they're an exurbanite. Hello? Exurbia. Noun from 1955. The generalized region of exurbs. All of the exurbs together are exurbia, just like all of the suburbs together are suburbia. Suburbia. Why did this word not take off? What happened in 1955? That's when all this growth. A new type of development that is neither fully suburban nor fully rural has emerged, sometimes referred to as the exurbs. Spektorsky, from 1955, who is commonly credited with coining the term exurbia, first elucidated this new form and function of a residential settlement emerging in the New York metropolitan area. And then it goes on. I think we just need to use exurb instead of suburb. That's what I think. Okay, two more words. What is up? Hi, how are you doing today? That's a weird sound effect. We have exuvii or exuvii. E-X-U-V-I-A-E. Exuvii. Noun from 1653. This is sloughed off natural animal coverings like the skin of snakes. There are lots of animals that molt, that get rid of their skin, have a new... Do animals with shells, do they have new shells? I think so. But yes, you know, skin, that's the typical example we think of snakes. Spiders. I think some spiders do this. I've seen video of them getting out of their skin, getting out of their shell. And then they leave the exuvii or the exuvii. Exuvial is an adjective. This word is from the Latin verb exuere, which means to take off. Oh, I'm just going to take off my clothes. Exuere, I'm going to take off my skin. This is from ex plus uere, which is literally just U-E-R-E. It looks like it's a suffix. I don't know if it's its own... It seems like it's its own verb, but it's a suffix? I don't know. Uere means to put on. Uere is to put on. Exuere is to take off. It is akin to the OCS, Old Church Slavic. I think that's what that stands for. Their word is obuti, which means to put on, but specifically footwear. Putting on your shoes, your socks, your sandals, your Crocs, your boots. And so, yes, it's taking it off. It's all about the stuff that's taken off. I recently saw a little, was it a video or a photo of a snake who was, I think, in process of removing their exuvii. And there was a part sitting on top of its head, and it looked like it was wearing a little hat or something. And it was very silly. Okay, one more word. Hi. The last word in this episode is exuviation. E-X-U-V-I-A-T-I-O-N. Noun from 1839. This is the process of molting. The birds do it. I don't know if the bees do it. Everybody's doing it. The spiders... Let's see. Maybe we should put a link in the show notes for animals that molt, I guess. I don't have to put a link in there, but let's see. The AI, the Google AI now is telling me many animals molt or shed their skin to grow, remove parasites, or recycle nutrients. They're like, I'm sick of this. Whatever this covering is, I'm sick of it. Let's get a new one. Lizards, snakes, frogs, crabs, spiders, insects, arachnids. I mean, birds molt. They molt their feathers, but would you call that exuviation? I don't see why not. Molting can be dangerous for some animals because it can make them vulnerable to predators because they're in the midst of doing this important thing and they can't do anything else. So they are vulnerable to predators because they're like, I'm stuck doing this thing. I really hope nobody comes to eat me. So stay away. Arthropods must shed their entire outer body, including their eye surfaces and inner gut linings, which can leave them exposed to attack. Spiders and crabs can also lose legs during the process, but they can usually replace them during the next molting cycle. Wow, nature is friggin' crazy. So bonkers. Right now, I'm living through the 17-year cicada situation in 2024, and they come up from the ground in their larval stage, and then pretty much immediately, they molt. They do exuviation. They leave. There's all this exuviae littering our trees, our grass, our lawns, our sidewalks, the bushes. Everywhere there's exuviae, because they get out of that body and they're a whole new body. Their legs, their eyes, they got wings when they come out of there. It's fascinating. All right. Whew. Oh, so much talking. It's time to pick a word of the episode. Today we had extrovert, extrude, extrusion, extrusive, exuberance, exuberant, exuberate, exudate, exudation, exude, exult, exultance, exultancy, exultant, exultation, exurb, exurbanite, exurbia, exuvii, and exuviation. A lot of extra words because the way that I decided to do this, I'm adjusting because our next page is weird, and so I shifted some things around. So what's going to be the word of the episode? I don't know. Extroverts, interesting, extrude. They're all interesting words. They all have very important places in our society. I do kind of like, I don't know, exuberant. And, I don't know. I wasn't really paying attention when I was rereading them to pick one that I like. I mean, you know, exuviae is pretty interesting. Maybe I should post a picture of some of that stuff on the social media. I am fascinated by this whole exurb thing. I mean, it makes sense. It makes sense, but I've never heard it. It just did not stick. I don't know, whatever. Let's pick exurb. I don't live in the exurbs. I live in the suburbs. The exurbs are further away from me. I guess maybe a lot of these well-to-do families, they live out there because prices, I think, tend to be cheaper when you get further away. It used to be a more rural area, and so you could get a bigger house for cheaper. Okay. For a specific example, outside of Chicago, there is a city called Aurora. It's one of the bigger cities that's like outside, it's like a ways outside of Chicago. And a lot of people from Aurora, and you know, there's other ones, you know, there's like Naperville and other stuff that they're like, they say they're from Chicago, which, you know, you're obviously closer to Chicago than any other major city, so that makes sense. But would something like that be considered an exurb because you're not right next to Chicago? You're like an hour away, maybe. So that seems like, because it's another sort of city area, is that an exurb? I don't know. I don't care to talk about it anymore. What I do want to talk to you about is another movie, and I got to bring up my list. We left off at that one. Oh, we watched Furiosa. We went to see that in the theater, and it's a super fun movie. If you like the previous one, you will probably enjoy this one. It's, you know, more craziness, more cars, more dust and sand. And I love that this character, Furiosa, has gotten... We got to fill in her story. And I was super excited when I first heard about that because she is a very fun character. And now it's like, oh, this is what her path was. And it's amazing to see her path. And I think Charlize Theron did a great job in the first one. And Anya Taylor-Joy, is it Anya? Anya Taylor-Joy? She did a great job in this one. And there is a younger girl who plays the younger version. And what I heard is that they actually digitally combined her face with Anya's face as she gets older. It's like mostly the girl's face when she's young, but a little bit of Anya. And then as she grows up, it becomes a little bit more like Anya. So then once Anya comes in, it's, you could tell, you could see the changing. I don't want to live in that world. I wouldn't want to just try to survive in this desert wasteland place. Doesn't seem fun. Unless I were living in the place of abundance and I had exuberance. Anyway, I'm done talking. Thank you so much for checking out this long, crazy episode. And until next time, this is Spencer exuberantly dispensing information. Goodbye.